All right, let's get into the Word. You've got your Bibles there. If you've got your Bible whistle, 7 people. Awesome, let's get our Bibles out. Let's turn to the book of Genesis in chapter 4. Share a few thoughts with you. Oh, yes, yeah. And then while you're finding your scripture, the children can go. So you guys can head out. Have a great time, children. Genesis chapter 4. Hallelujah. And in verse 1, now Adam had sexual relations with his wife. Sorry, guys, just had to read the word. Eve, and she became pregnant. When she gave birth to Cain, she said, "With the Lord's help, I have produced a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother and named him Abel. When they grew up, Abel became a shepherd while Cain cultivated the ground. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best of his firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. "Why are you so angry?" the Lord asked Cain. "Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. But you must subdue it and be its master." One day Cain suggested to his brother, "Let's go out into the fields." And while they were in the fields, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Afterwards, the Lord asked Cain, "Where is your brother? Where is Abel?" "I don't know," Cain responded. "Am I my brother's guardian?" But the Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are cursed and banished from the ground, which has swallowed your brother's blood. No longer will the ground yield good crops for you, no matter how hard you work. From now on, you'll be a homeless wanderer of the earth." Cain replied to the Lord, "My punishment is too great for me to bear. You have banished me from the land and from your presence. You have made me a homeless wanderer. Anyone who finds me will kill me." The Lord replied, "No, for I will give a sevenfold punishment to anyone who kills you." Then the Lord put a mark on Cain to warn anyone who might try to kill him. So Cain left the Lord's presence and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Let me pray for us. Is that okay? Loving God, we thank you again that we can gather around your word. Lord God, your word is truth. It is life. We thank you, Lord God, that this morning as we focus our eyes and our hearts on you, Lord God, we create an opportunity for you to speak, for you to minister, for you to engage our hearts and to transform us. And Lord, we are willing this morning. We are ready, Lord Jesus, to receive something fresh for each of our lives, that we would grow and become the disciples you're calling us to be. Lord, we bless you and we love you and we thank you, Lord God, for your word this morning. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen. If we've been growing up in church and been going about the Christian life or the Christian living for some time now, then it's highly likely that you have become used to the Christian lifestyle. If you've been in church for a while, if you've perhaps been here for the length of time that Pastor Eliafi has, I know, even longer, maybe even shorter, but for a long time you've been in church, then you can quickly become accustomed to what the Christian lifestyle looks like. You go to church, you say your prayers, you say grace when you perhaps eat, all the different things that go with that, and you just do it. You just go on the routine, you keep going with it, and it's part of who we are. I want to ask you a question this morning. Has anyone ever owned an iPhone? Show of hands if you've ever owned an iPhone. Don't mean you have to have one right now, but have you ever owned an Apple iPhone at any time? There's a few hands going up there, a few hands around. Can you remember what it was like when you first bought your very first iPhone? What it was like compared to the phone you had before? My first iPhone was an iPhone 3, which was going back a few years. That might date me a little bit. iPhone 3, and I remember that I was just so amazed by it. It was just so awesome. It did so many things that my little Alcatel phone couldn't do before. That had all the push buttons on it, and maybe had like, you know, one game, Snake, you know. And it didn't do much else. Probably had a calculator on it or something like that. You know, could text message, could make phone calls, and that was pretty much about it. It was still pretty good. But when I got the iPhone 3, it was like, my goodness, this thing can do everything. I can do my internet banking on it. Wow, this is insane. You know, I could look at maps. I could check out where I was and GPS myself and find where other places were. I could look at the clocks, not just of where I was, but around the world. I could check the time zones and see what time it was in other places. I could watch YouTube on my phone. Oh, my goodness, this was incredible. Amazing stuff. I didn't just have Snake. I could play any number of games that I could download depending on what I wanted to play. They were all there, options. Just get them and play them. I even had a Sleeps Till Christmas app. I still have it. How many sleeps is it till Christmas? Well, it's breaking it down to hours and minutes and seconds. 336 sleeps till Christmas, guys. Hope you're ready. I could take photos on my phone. What the heck? Incredible. And then I could send those photos to other people. Now, I know what most of you are sitting there thinking right now, going, so what? That was like, what, 15 years ago, longer, probably even longer than that. It's crazy. And to be honest, I feel that way too. Now, since I had my iPhone 3, I ended up getting an iPhone 4. Then I got an iPhone 5S, and now I'm currently on iPhone 8. I think there's an iPhone 13. Is that the latest one? All you tech guys. James, is that right? Is it 13? Yes, okay. So 13 is the most recent one, okay? There's all these different versions and different variants and stuff. And each generation, the thing about each of the iPhones that I like personally is that it doesn't change a whole heap. So it's pretty similar. The app system works the same. You can click on it the same way. It has the same kind of look. They might tweak it a little bit, make it look a little bit fancier, but it's pretty much the same. It's not like going over to a Samsung. You know, I don't know why people do that sort of thing, but, you know, the Lord works in mysterious ways, and we need missionaries on the Samsung platform, I'm sure. That's what you're all thinking. But, you know, but the thing I like about the iPhone is it's pretty much the same. It's all pretty much a basic thing. The only thing is it's faster, perhaps. It's got more space on it. You can put more on it as if we need more stuff in our lives. You know, I've got to put that app on there. That app's going to change my life. You know. I like my weight loss app. That's good. It's helping me at the moment. You might have noticed. No, you haven't. It's fine. And the thing is with that, when you have a phone like that or it's a piece of technology like that doesn't really change overly, you can become familiar with it. When I get my new iPhone, I'm not like, ooh, what's it do now? It's like, I know what it's going to do. It's just going to do things faster for me. So I don't have to go, oh, man, I have to wait as long or whatever to do its thing. And so I come a little bit familiar with it. And, you know, it isn't a big deal anyway, really. I mean, yes, it's a new phone. You might have a one day where you go, oh, it's a new phone. Have you seen it? It's new. Oh, yeah, it's new. But next day it's the same as it always has been. Now, for all of us, we have different things in our lives. Maybe it is technology. Technology is the easy one. You know, those of you who grew up in the 80s, maybe earlier, you know, technology is different from what it is now. You might have noticed as you looked around, as you use the microwave or as you use the oven. You know, different technologies have changed and they are more efficient. Perhaps they make do things better or perform better. But I still remember when I was a kid and my dad bought us an Amiga 500 computer. Those of you old enough will remember the Amiga 500. Yeah, Matthew's nodding his head. Oh, yeah, baby, that's the one. Amiga 500. In essence, for me, it was our first computer that we could game on, that we could play computer games on, and I got really into it. That's where I got really kind of captured by it, fell in love with it, the different games, all the different things we could do, racing car games and strategy games and action games. It was all very fun and exciting. You know, back when we didn't have internet and back when you usually had a time limit and your parents would kick you off and you didn't want to get off, you know, and you had to, no, I've just got to finish this level. I can't save it yet. Probably couldn't even save it back then. It was crazy. Now, we had the computer when I don't know how old I was, but I remember when we first had it, it was awesome, it was exciting, and I wanted to be on it every minute of the day as much as I could, and you know, I'd do jobs just to go and play on the Amiga for a little bit. You know, I'll do a job just so I can have another hour, whatever it is, and you do those sort of things. But after a few years, you know, you still play it, you still go over and have some fun on it, but it's lost that wow factor. It's something that we've had for a while. It's just been sitting in the corner, perhaps, or in that room that, you know, we don't visit quite as often as we used to. And then along came the PC computer with Windows 3.1. James is excited, I can see it. Windows 3.1, it was revolutionary. Changed the way you did home computing. And the whole process began all over again. I got excited about this one, and that Amiga started to gather dust in the corner. In fact, it probably got put away into a cupboard. Oh, well, we'll just make some space, put it out there, put it out the back. In fact, I knew that my parents still had it when they sold that house when I was a teenager later on. It had been sitting in the cupboard ever since, and it was like, oh, we've still got this. I actually said, I'll grab it. I'm going to have a little play on that. Didn't work. I think too much dust had got into it, so it healed over. But when we get used to something and it doesn't sparkle anymore, when it's not as exciting anymore, you know, you can sometimes still use it. Maybe if it's functional like a phone, I still need to use my phone, I still need to make phone calls, but the sparkle's gone, the wow factor's gone. It's kind of dissipated a little bit, and that's kind of what happens. There's a TV show that I love. It's not on the air anymore. It's old. Who remembers Home Improvement with Tim the Tool Man Taylor? Oh, church just got relevant from it. Oh, yeah. Tim the Tool Man Taylor. Loved it. So funny, so good. One of the themes that ran through that show was that Tim was building a hot rod, a car, you know, a street rod. He would talk about it with passion, and he would build it from the ground up. He literally bought like a frame that looked like nothing, an iron frame, and slowly he would build it up and put the parts on and get the engine installed and get the right wheels, and he'd kind of talk about the details, all the little details in it, and how he loved that car. And it kind of spanned three or four seasons that he would put this car together. And I remember when he finished it, he took great care in it. You know, it was always polished, always clean, and, you know, always waxed, and he'd put a cover over it, you know, one of these covers to protect it from anything anything bad could fall on it or spill on it. And anyway, one day his wife Jill wanted to use the garage for one of her hobbies. I can't remember what it was, pottery or something. And she wanted to use the garage, and so the car was in the way. So she drove the car out and parked outside and closed the garage door and started doing her pottery or whatever it was. And a few hours had passed, and Tim came home, and he was freezing cold, and he said, man, that dump of snow is just absolutely crazy. And he walks out in the garage, he goes, where's the car? And they lift the garage door up, and there's the car covered in snow, filled with snow, like deep piles. And you can just see Jill's horrified. Tim can't believe what has just happened. He's absolutely mortified and so upset. And Jill's so apologetic. I didn't know. I was in here busy doing my thing. And you know, he's just mortified over it. About four episodes later, he sells it. He sold the car. And a whole bunch of people got upset. His son got upset because he worked on it with his dad. And other people were like, but you love that car. How could you sell it? He sold it because he wanted to start on a new car. The shine and the twinkle, for some reason, had waned. Yeah, I've done that now. I've finished with that thing. Now it's time to move on to something else. Time for something new and fresh. It's funny how over time we all take things for granted. Everything in our lives that we're used to, we take for granted often. It's just because it's always there. It's always what it's been. Whatever you love and enjoy right now has the potential to wane favor in 20, 10, 5, or maybe even just 1 year's time. You may not actually think of it as something special, something that you treasure in the same way that you do now. It might be your phone or your car, perhaps your computer or your Xbox or whatever it is. But it doesn't have to be just those sorts of things in our lives. Sometimes it can be just a passion for a hobby. Sometimes we get really excited about one thing that an activity that we love doing, whether it's running or whether it's collecting things or whatever it is, and we can have a real passion for it. And then over time, it kind of wanes. It's still there. I've still got the collection. I still, I run every now and then or whatever it is. But the passion for it can wane. Sometimes it's dreams that lose their spark. You know, maybe when you were young, you had an idea of what job you wanted to do. You know? Oh, when I grow up, I'm going to be a firefighter. When I grow up, I'm going to be a spaceman. Some of us are spacemen now. We just don't see it. But we had a passion or a dream. And then as we get a bit older, we find out about other things, that dream kind of, oh, yeah, no, I don't know if I want to do that anymore. I think I'm going to do something else. It's funny, isn't it? Even those things. It can even happen or can take place in friendships. One period of your life, you were really close with a certain person and you spent all your time with them, you loved hanging out with them. Then life circumstances change and perhaps you lose touch. You don't go out of your way to hang out with them as much, or you know, you just kind of just you're still friends. It's not like you're not friends anymore, but the passion and the excitement for that spending all that time together has just kind of waned. Moving on in my life, got other things on. And so all sorts of things can kind of lose their sparkle. All sorts of things in our lives seem to do that all the way through. The truth is, as Christians, it can also happen to our walk with God. I'm not talking about backsliding. I'm not talking about moving to another religion, you know. I know that's going to happen, but not that sort of intensity. I'm not talking about throwing in the towel. I'm thinking more about the care and attention that we put on our walk with God. Like Tim did with that car. At one point, we're really into God, and we're polishing our car. We're like, oh, Jesus, yes, I just love it. You know, often when we first get saved and we have that revelation of sin being taken off our lives, when, you know, we are set free, free indeed, and we just want to do everything for God. You know, we want to spend all of our, every moment of our waking life for Him. We'll go to every prayer meeting. You know, if the church is doing that event, I'm there. No questions asked. Don't even think about it. I'm not going to check the calendar. I'm there. You know, I tell all my friends about Jesus. No matter what, I'm just going to tell them. I'm just so excited about who Jesus is. Maybe even just serving. You know, you'll do any job. It's not just the glamorous jobs, perhaps, if there even is such a thing. But you won't do, you know, you'll clean the toilets at church, mate. You're so excited about Jesus. I've got to do anything and everything that needs to be done. And there's that passion. There's that passion to be involved in everything that God is doing. Your passion is through the roof. You turn up at church to every event. Whereas now, perhaps, we still come to church, you know, every few weeks. Or, hey, I've been for the last two Sundays, so this morning I'm going to stay at home. That little bit of passion has just waned a little bit. Still there, still going to be involved, still want to be involved, but just not quite as committed. Your tithe, maybe it's become ritual. I just tithe because that's what I've always done, and that's just what we're supposed to do, isn't it? As Christians, we're supposed to tithe. It's no longer a meaningful expression of worship. It's no longer that interaction between you and God. Saying, God, I'm making a commitment to you. I'm giving of myself, giving of what you've given me. You sing, you may tap your foot, you raise a hand, but it's the same song that we sung for the last 6 years. Oh, you know, just used to that song now. It's just always the ones we sing. Perhaps you don't serve anymore because it's just not a priority now. You've got other things you need to do. I did my time, and now it's someone else's turn. That's a common one. Have you heard that one around church? Not in this church, but you hear it in other churches. You know that sort of happens. And I've done my time. I don't serve in that area anymore. Someone else can have a go. But it's become more of an inconvenience and less an opportunity to bless the church. I guess if we're honest, church becomes about what we get out of it and not what we can contribute. Amen? It's a challenge. The preaching changes or the song style goes more modern, or if they ask for another special offering, that's it. You know, I'm just over it. Yeah, that attitude can be really dangerous in anyone, in any believer. We can settle with mediocre Christian experiences. We stop expecting God's best and we stop giving our best. Why? Because we're just used to it. Just going to go to church. God will just do what He's going to do. And that can become, if we're not careful, that attitude can become our reality. And that can be what our Christian experience is. We can settle into a that'll do attitude. Oh, that'll do. Yeah, just enough. That'll be okay. We can just do that. Cain and Abel came before God with their offerings to worship Him, to express their gratitude, to express their love for the Father. Genesis says that Abel brought his best to God, the best of his firstborn lambs. He looked at what he had and he said, I want to honor God. How's the best way to do this? The best one. I'm going to take my best lambs and I'm going to give those to God. Why? Because that's how much I treasure my relationship with Father. Cain presented some crops. You can almost hear it in the text, can't you? You can almost hear what the author's saying. Abel brought his best, but Cain just brought some of his crops. Yeah, that'll do. I want to honour God as well, so yeah, there's some crops there, that'll do. You know, and it's kind of like there is an attitude there. Have you ever felt you've just brought some crops to church before? I know I have. There's definitely been days and weeks where I've got church coming up, church is going on. What have I got? I'll just go as I am. I'll just go with my attitude. I'll just go with, you know, with the stink attitude and just do what I normally do. Let's just do church. That'll do. You know, hopefully no one here, but sometimes we forget to have a shower in the morning because it's only church. Don't sniff each other. It's not a good look. Oh, I forgot about the offering this week. I spent it on dinner last night. Oh, that men's meeting was for all men? I thought it was just for a specific group. Yeah, work has been super crazy this week, so I just didn't get any time to read my Bible. You know, I was just so busy. I don't come to the leaders' meeting because it clashes with another activity I do, gymnastics, te reo class, I don't know, whatever it is. But I've got something else on, and you know, just for the moment, I'm just going to focus on that. But I'll get there when I can. Whatever it is, I'll do what I can, absolutely. You know, I love Jesus. I'll bring some crops. How does that sound? Is that okay? Can I just bring some crops? It's better than nothing, surely. I think we've all been blessed that we don't get a visible verse 5. If you have another look at verse 5 and how God responds. I actually think God hasn't given up. That's the beauty of this. I love how God comes to Cain and actually says to him, you don't have to be this way. You don't have to keep giving the way you're giving. I love that about that. It's not locked in. It's not like, hey, yeah, no, this wasn't good enough. That's it. You're out of here. He actually says, you can change. You know, look at what your brother's doing. And if you can capture that same spirit, don't just bring some crops, bring your best crops. Maybe that would be the answer. Oh, yeah. You know, there's a challenge in there. And God's saying, look, it's not, you're not out. But then when Cain's attitude just deepens and he's just so upset about it, how can God talk to me that way? How can God think that way about me? You know what? I'll show God. Sin is encroaching on the door, God says to him. If you're not careful, when you're mediocre, when your faith is just, that'll do, you're creating a space for some sin to creep in. Why? Because you're not pushing hard. You're not going for God. You're not making God number one. Barry shared a great message this morning where he talked about our passion. And I encourage you, when you go home, perhaps the live stream will be up available later on and you can go back and check it. When our passion is low, we're more likely to stumble. We're more likely to trip up. When mediocrity sets in, he still believes that you have a good offering to bring. You can recapture the passion of your young faith. And, of course, when I say that, youth isn't about age. It's not about that. You know, how many of us know you can be 20 years old and act like you're 90? And how many of us know 90-year-olds who are just so passionate that they're acting like they're 20, just so full of life and loving Jesus and just going for it? The truth is you don't need a verse 5. Just the being familiar with things can cause you to get dejected all by itself. Just being, oh, it's just church. Just used to it, just going through the motions, just another Sunday. Oh, we've all got to go. Oh, yeah, I got it. Instead of I want to. When you see others going on in the kingdom, being used and growing in responsibility and anointing, do you ever wonder why it's not happening to you? Are you one of those people? Why is it not happening for me? It might be time to just take a spiritual health check. You know, we just take a moment where you go, God, where am I at? What am I putting my focus on? What am I putting my passion on? What am I spending all my time with? This is a challenge to myself. I'm going to invite the band to come if that's okay. We're just going to finish with a song here. But you can't score a try like the All Blacks by sitting on the sideline. You have to be in the game. How do you think the try scorer feels after the match? so pumped, so excited. It was just such an awesome moment. How do you think the person sitting at home in New Zealand on the couch watching the game on the TV, knowing they could have been there, feels? That should have been me up there. I could have done that. It's time to get off the bench, son and daughter. It's time to bring your best to the Lord, amen. This morning, each of us has an opportunity to exchange the crops that we perhaps have brought this morning and exchange your this will do for God, here's my best. I'm going to take things up a notch. I'm going to recapture that first love. I'm going to recapture that moment that I just knew that you were my world, Jesus. I'm going to chase after you with a fresh vigor, with a fresh excitement. I love using the word fresh because it's never new. It's always fresh. Sometimes we have to come to church to receive something fresh. We have to receive something that we already knew. Does that make sense? Sometimes we come to church and hear a sermon about something we knew already, but we had to receive it again so we could receive it fresh, so it becomes alive again. Sometimes we have an attitude, well, I only come to church when I want to hear a new message. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. We've got to receive something fresh. Why? Because that will combat our mediocrity. That will combat, oh, that'll do. Jesus, would you come and transform me, Jesus? Don't want to have a that'll do attitude, Father. I want to be reawakened again. Why don't we just stand together? In these last moments as the band sing this song, I want to encourage you to make your own personal prayer to Father. And that can look different for every single one of you. You know what the Lord is speaking to you. You know, perhaps there's areas that God's pointing out to you, or perhaps there's just, maybe there's just things that have happened recently and you go, actually, you know what? Yeah, I didn't handle that situation well. I probably could have given God better. Whatever it looks like for you, whatever is stirred in your heart this morning, whatever God is speaking to you, I want you to make just a space as we worship to just bear your heart before Father. Allow God to touch you. Maybe say, God, you know what? It's time to exchange my crops for something better. Amen. Let me pray for us, and then the band's going to sing. And then I want you to, you just make your own prayer. Whatever it looks like, whatever you're challenged on, whatever, perhaps you're just reflecting on God's goodness, whatever it is. But that's going to be your space as the band worships. Loving God, again, we thank you, Lord God, that your word is truth, that it is a sword that pierces the heart. Lord God, is it a challenge? Without challenges, Lord God, we don't grow. And so, Lord, this morning again, as we poured out our love to you already, as we've worshipped you already, Lord God, even in this space, Lord God, we turn our hearts afresh to receive afresh, Lord God. Receive a word afresh in each of our hearts, Lord God. Challenge us, point things out, Lord God, not because, Lord, perhaps there's some of us here that do have walls up and we're sitting there going, it's not me. Allow Holy Spirit to come and just, Barry said in the first service that when we meet like this, God walks through the aisles. He walks through the space. If you're watching at home and you're watching a live stream, God is walking through your home. He's in your midst. He's there ministering. If we are open, if the soil of our hearts is exposed, God can throw a seed upon it. What a wonderful picture that is of a God who tends his garden, who wants good crops in our lives to grow up. Hallelujah. Lord God, I pray for your blessing on each and every one of us, Lord God. Lord, that as we are stirred this morning, that we would all, Lord God, take up the call of the gospel, take up the call of sharing the love of Jesus, Lord God. That the passion would return to our hearts afresh. In your wonderful name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.